Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The book Farewell to Arms, Legs, and Jockstraps, a sports writer's memoir, takes a detailed look into the career of Diane Shaw, who became the country's first female sports columnist for a daily paper when she joined the Los Angeles Herald Examiner in 1981. During her time as a sports journalist, she was accused of being a threat to the American family, had to hide from Larry Bird in the stands, and struck up an unexpected friendship with the movie star and Raiders fan Cary Grant. The book is both a journey through Shaw's life in a male-dominated field and an exploration of the big wins and hard falls of sport's biggest athletes. Shaw writes, quote, "I never focused on being a female sports writer or how the world would react. I didn't care. I was a sports writer, period. And all I ever wanted to do was get the story, whatever it took." A Farewell to Arms, Legs, and Jockstraps, a sports writer's memoir, is out now, and Diane Shaw joins us today. Diane, welcome to All of It.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
So you had been working at Newsweek when you were offered the job as a sports columnist. What did you think about the job offer, and why did you ultimately take it?
The job offer was very strange, I thought. I was out in Los Angeles the week between Christmas and New Year's doing some sports stories, and I got invited to a party at Jim Bellow's house. Jim was the editor of the L.A. Herald Examiner, and I had always looked forward to meeting him because he was known as a great editor, and he seemed to discover or develop really talented writers. And a friend of mine invited me to his home for a party, and Jim greeted me at the door, sat me down on a sofa, and said, "So, what are you going to do with the rest of your life?" That was the first thing he said to me, which I thought was strange. And I said, "Oh, well, you know, I'm at Newsweek now, but I'll leave Newsweek. I want to write mystery novels and magazine stories." And he said, "Uh-uh, no." And I said, "Well, yes, that's what I want to do." And he said, "No, you're not going to do that." And so now I'm getting a little defensive. I said, "Well, you know, I have written for some magazines already, and I've published a mystery novel." And he shook his head. And I said, "Okay, well, what do you think I should do?" And he said, "You're going to be my sports columnist." Just like that. I mean, Allison, that was a little strange. Anyway, it took me about 4 months to decide if I wanted to do this. I told him, honestly, I didn't know how to write a column. I didn't know L.A. I couldn't understand why he would offer me this job. And he said, "Don't worry, I can teach you anything you need to know." And that's what convinced me to go. I thought, a master class with the great Jim Bellows. And as it turned out, he never helped me with anything.
So when you started as a columnist, how did you want to approach this and make it your own, make it individual to you?
Interesting. I don't know if I looked at it quite like that, Allison. I thought of it more as, okay, I mean, first of all, you're very visible in a big city when you're a sports columnist. And I didn't want to screw up. Personally, I didn't want to screw up. And I also thought, I don't want to really look bad because that could set back women for a long time from getting jobs like this. So I was just really focused on getting the story that I wanted to get or writing the column I wanted to write, and competing against my male competitors. And I know along the way people would say, "Oh, well, you know, you're a woman sports writer. You have your own point of view." And I always said, "Well, everybody has their own point of view. I don't know why it attaches to my sex. It's the way I look at things, the same way men." Anyway, I didn't quite look at it like that.
You know, it's interesting, in reading your book, you clearly just wanted to do your job. And that was your goal, was just to be a good writer. But people kept just getting in your way. And I want to say try, because you did not take no for an answer. They tried to get in your way, but you just kept on going through. I'm curious, at the time, how aware were you of the sexism? Did it not register, or were you just tuning it out?
I think originally, before I got that job, and I never really was determined to be a sports writer. I just wanted to be a journalist. Mm-hmm. But I did pay attention. I was a big sports fan, and I knew that there weren't very many, if any, female sports writers. And I was so naive. I thought it's because there weren't women that wanted those jobs. And then I realized that's not quite the case. And so once I was there at the Herald, and I did have obstacles, you can't get in the locker room type of obstacles,
mm-hmm.
I decided that this was a problem I had to solve myself. I didn't think my editor would appreciate a bunch of, you know, girl reporter problems dumped on his desk. I was competing with men. I wanted to do my job as well or better. So I had to figure out ways to get that job done. I didn't want lawyers involved or editors. I just wanted to see if I could do it myself. And there were two occasions, one with the then California Angels.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're now the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, but they were the California Angels. And and the Raiders. The Oakland Raiders had just moved to Los Angeles, and both those teams were barring me. And I found, to my surprise, that simply by having a conversation with whoever was blocking the door, I always got my way. They did let me in. And that feeling of solving your own problem is very empowering. And I think that it's something that I think I preach to people. Try solving your problems first.
My guest is Diane Shaw. She is a sports columnist and writer. The name of her memoir is Farewell to Arms, Legs, and Jockstraps. So we learn a lot in the book about these locker room situations. And before we even talk about some of the difficulties, as a writer, what sets the locker room interview apart from any other kind of interview for you as a writer?
I think I was lucky. I consider that I was lucky to be doing this in the 80s and in the 90s. This was before ESPN became what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You could walk into anybody's locker room. Let's say I'm in L.A., I go in the Dodgers locker room an hour or two before the game, and the players are all there. They're getting dressed. They're getting ready. You sit down next to them on one of the stools, and you chat. And sometimes you pick up great bits of information. After the game, you go in the locker room, and they're still there, and they're getting dressed, and you get more personal information. That's not possible today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that social media almost makes sports writers irrelevant. So that was very helpful to me. We didn't have, I mean, today I know, take football, maybe once a week a quarterback from the NFL will come out and have a press conference with a bunch of reporters. You don't get anything special. And I would have found that very frustrating.
When you were working in locker rooms, you had some really awkward, maybe is the right word, encounters with various people in management. You had this interesting run-in with the manager of the Los Angeles Angels. Can you describe that moment for us?
Yes. I had written about the Angels. I would go to Anaheim. I would interview whoever I needed to. I'd watch four or five innings in the press box, and then I'd listen to the game on the long drive home. But now it was Labor Day weekend, and the Angels were going to Boston to play the Red Sox in a five-game series. Both teams were fighting to get into the playoffs, and so I went. And the Angels managed to lose all five games. So into the locker room I went. And what you do as a sports writer after a game, you go to see the baseball manager, the football, you go to the coach, the manager first before the players. So I walked into the manager's office. The manager was Gene Mauch, and there were maybe four or five male sports writers in there. And I opened my notebook, and Gene Mauch, in the middle of a sentence, walked out. And the other reporters looked at each other, huh, what? But I knew. I understood what was going on. So I left. I talked to a few players. And then I went back in when Gene was alone. And he had changed into his street clothes. And I said to him, "Gene, did you walk out because of me?" And he said, "Yes, I did." And he said, I can't help it. It makes me sick to my stomach to see you walking around with all these naked athletes. You remind me of my daughter, and it just makes me sick to my stomach." And then he started to cry. I thought, what am I supposed to do now? So I took a moment, and I said, "Look, Gene, I know this is weird. My mother did not raise me to do business with naked men, but this is my job. Here I am, and I'm going to need to talk to you." And he said, "You can talk to me in the hall." And I explained why that wasn't a good idea, and he just walked out. So I don't know. I got it in my head that maybe if I was around him more, he'd get used to me. So I would drive to Anaheim during the month of September every chance I had, and if he was at the batting cage, I'd go up to him. And, "Oh, you know, how's the pitcher's arm? How's blah, blah, blah?" If he's in the dugout, I'd sit down next to him. The Angels got to the playoffs, and they were playing Milwaukee in the first round. Best three out of five games. First two games in Anaheim, they won, the Angels. So we go to Milwaukee. They only need one win. They lost all three games in Milwaukee. So, again, into the locker room I go. And the players are all eating spaghetti and not talking to anybody. But in the middle of this locker room is Gene Mauch with some reporters and cameramen standing around. And he saw me walk in, and he said, "Okay, fellas, that's it." And he starts walking towards me. And I thought, uh-oh, here we go. Walked right up to me, put his arm around my shoulders, and said, "Now, Diane, what can I do for you?" I thought, yes. And again, as I said, to my surprise, I found that I could sort of solve my problems by just talking to these people.
So, Di, I'm curious about what you think about something that's sort of evolved recently in sports. In the past few years, there's been a lot of conversations about athletes that maybe they should not be talking politics or get involved in certain issues, whether that's Colin Kaepernick or Megan Rapinoe. What's your take on this debate about athletes and causes?
Interesting question. I think it doesn't hurt. I know that friends of mine who don't follow sports the way I do, they see the headlines of, you know, this player beat up his wife, and they see the bad stuff, and they get bad impressions of athletes. They don't know the good stuff that athletes do. And I think more and more athletes are speaking out. They're going to lose some fans, I guess. I don't know. But I think we want to know. The public wants to know what athletes think of certain issues. I suppose we'll be hearing a lot from them about, "Do you intend to play the game with nobody in the stands?" Mm-hmm. type of conversation.
When you think about what's really exciting in sports right now, let's do pre-COVID. what has been really exciting? Is there any particular athlete, any particular sport, any particular trend that you've seen that you think, "I'm really glad this happened during my lifetime and my career"?
Oh, interesting. I've turned into a big football fan. And I found, to my surprise, when I was writing about football, that the football players were the smartest and the funniest of the team athletes that I dealt with, and I didn't expect that. I did follow, I'm kind of without a team right now. I do live in New York. I suppose I should root for the Jets or the Giants, but I was always a Peyton Manning fan, and he's gone, so I'm kind of at a loss as to who I want to support. But I think the big differences has been that women have become far more recognized as great athletes, and I think America is paying much more attention to women athletes. And I was very pleased to see the NFL had, when they were in Indianapolis a few months ago, they had set up sessions for women to come. And they were talking to women about how to get involved in football, front office jobs. I thought that was terrific.
The name of the memoir is Farewell to Arms, Legs, and Jockstraps, a Sports Writer's Memoir. Diane Shaw, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.